In this episode, we interview Ellis McLean, one of the Texas State cheer coaches. We catch up, and Ellis and I talk about some of the greatest cheerleaders to ever step foot on a mat.
Telling you, man. What's up with you, bro?
Dude, I just got to say, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me for a little bit tonight. I know it's, you know, middle of the week, and time is always of the essence with a man as busy as you are. So I truly appreciate you squeezing me in.
No worries, man. It's one of those. It's busy season, so it's literally when, you know, it's middle of cheer and powerlifting, man. So it's kind of like, you have to make the time. There's no really finding time nowadays, sure. Man. Yeah, especially when you're trying to get things going in life, man. You know,
and that's why I truly appreciate you. I know, you know, and as our listeners will get to know, you know, a little bit more about you, this time together is truly valuable. So I appreciate it. We're going to jump right in. And like we have done in the past, we have a kind of a set bit of questions that we like to ask, but as always, you know, I'm a much bigger fan of letting the conversation flow as it goes, and tangents are the best,
without a doubt.
And things like that. So for our listeners, thank you guys so much for joining us for this episode. This is a podcast that's a few weeks in the making. A few weeks ago, getting geared up for UCA College Nationals, got to run into a buddy I hadn't seen in many, many years and catch up. He is one of the cheer coaches at Texas State. They were in Schertz, Texas with Stars Vipers. They're using the facility to run the routine a few times as they were getting ready to head down to UCA College Nationals out in Orlando. And Ellis McLean and I got to catch up a little bit, talk some shop, got to pick his brain about some of the things that he is an expert in and one of the top in the world in, and how he is applying some of these things to his cheer athletes. Just as a quick background, and I'm going to give quick bullet points because I want to hear you tell the story, because you can obviously tell it a whole lot better than I can. Ellis McLean has a history not only in cheer but also in powerlifting, arguably, and I will argue for you when I say arguably, one of the strongest men on the planet, and also one of the nicest men on the planet.
I appreciate that. It's
hard to find a more genuine soul and genuine athlete and genuine giver back. Not only to those around him, but to the rest of us in the cheer world. So it is an honor to have you on the podcast, sir. And I gave you a brief introduction. But for those of our listeners and those that aren't really familiar with your story and how you've come to be where you are in the cheer world, tell us more about the history of Ellis McLean.
Man, that was probably probably the dopest intro I've had in probably forever. I'm gonna soundbite. Those are all soundbites.
Yeah, go for it.
No, brother, I have literally been I guess officially in cheer since 2001. And I actually was going to Abilene Christian. I transferred to Abilene Christian University to play football and run track. And you know, my sister was just a straight beast and tumbler and cheerleader. So all throughout high school and you know some of college, I just watched her do her cheer thing, man. I thought it was cool. Me and my buddy, we tried stunting a few times, man. It was mainly just for the girls, not necessarily for anything else, like a lot of us started with.
Yeah, man.
Ended up, man, at one point there was we had a scrimmage and I was a knucklehead. I'll be the first to admit I was a big time knucklehead, but I was killing it in the scrimmage, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on my fourth or fifth touchdown, but so the cheerleaders were at the scrimmage. And I just saw this redhead chick tumbling down the sidelines. I was like, "Yo, that's what I want."
Right?
And so during the scrimmage, I'm sitting trying to spit game at her, you know, throughout the scrimmage. To which my coach wasn't very, very pleased, of course.
Oh, of course.
And her answer to every one of my questions was, if you want to know about me, you got to come to cheer tryouts.
Oh, man.
If you want to spend time with me, you got to come to cheer tryouts. All of this stuff, man. And eventually, man, you know, I was like, that's never going to happen. So I go to run back out to get on the, you know, to get in the scrimmage. Coach is like, well, since you're so chatty, why don't you stay on the sidelines since you want to chat so much? I'm like, you got to be kidding. So I went right back there, sat back down. I started talking to her, and she convinced me to pretty much, man, through a very cunning way. And of course, you know, just sheer beauty, man. I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to come. I'll go. And so after the spring game, I think we had a couple of weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, I should say, before cheer trials started. I knew nothing. I couldn't do a thing. And, you know, come to find out, she had a boyfriend the whole time. So I'm going to these prep clinics.
Womp, 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 womp.
Yeah, man, right? Womp, womp, womp. So I go there, and her boyfriend happens to be, you know, he's like the best guy on the team. And dude was, you know, doing all kind of stuff. I was like, I'd never seen this stuff before. So mm-hmm. I was like, all right. I can do what he does. It's easy. I'm stronger than him by far. The dude was killing me, man. You know what I mean? Like when you first get started, you know how it is, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you think you can overcome anything, not realizing it's all about the technique.
That's it.
And his technique is just as good as it could get, and he was just killing me, man. And so I spent the first 2 or 3 days just embarrassing myself. I went back, you know, a couple of days after that, you know, same thing, embarrassed myself. You know, I finally got to toss a chair, and I thought I was a man. Let's go. It's only, you know, it's onward up from here. And so the second week rolls up, got my chair to hands, and I got my toss to hands by that third week, and you had to have an extension to make the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so ended up, you know, getting my toss to hands press extension, and I could tumble already, you know, I was a backyard tumbler, so, you know, it was nothing to tumble. So ended up making the team, and I just had so much fun with all the people. I was like, oh, you know, I'll stick around. And then I found out they were giving a scholarship. So not only I was already a scholarship athlete, so I was like, yo, so I'm gonna get this money and it's just going straight to my pocket. Oh, that's a bet. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I stuck around. A lot of fun, man. Just I fell in love with the sport, fell in love with the people. And I think more than anything, I fell in love with the fact that I wasn't good at it. I sucked. And you know how it is, man. It, you know, up playing ball. On track, playing baseball, basketball, whatever. I was good at all of it.
Yeah.
But I sucked at cheer, man. I sucked at it. I sucked at stunts. You know, like a lot of people, you know, I wasn't very comfortable with being in front of a crowd. I always thought it was fake. I always thought that it was, you know, beneath me as an individual, man. But the more I did it, the more I fell in love with it. You know, the more I just thought, like, dude, this is kind of my thing. Yeah. At the same time, my best friend was doing the exact same thing at Howard Payne. He was a football player and ran track, but he also went out for the cheer teams. I was like, well, you know what, man? At least I have a support system if this, you know, if it falls through. So, dude, Travis, I just kept grinding. And, you know, I got to a point where it was all I could think about, man. You know, so I would go to practice. You know, I'd go to track off season, run all morning, go throughout my day. Hit football practice over like at 7, and then at 7:30 we'd have cheer practice, dude. And I was doing that, you know, 3-4 times a week, and I was loving it, man. And it always seemed like, in terms of where it was in the position of my day, it was the best part of my day. I got to end my day, you know, with the sport that I love, man. And it honestly, that's kind of how it kind of drew me in. And I mean, I did that for, you know, 3 years, because I started my junior year, and I actually went up and through like the end of my senior year, I did an additional year of my senior year, actually doing my first year grad work, you know, kind of that coincided with my, I guess, super senior year. So I got done. And when I graduated, I ended up, my best friend at the time, she actually filled out this bag. This is back in the day. She actually filled out a UCA application for me, and she sent it in, mailed it in. All that stuff, I had no idea what it was. I got this letter, you know, saying come to tryouts. So at the time, I was already a prorated athlete. And so I get this letter in, and I thought it was an agency. Like, hey, come to this tryout. So I was like, oh, I thought, like, you know what? I was just a dumb jock about it. I didn't want to read anything. So I just assumed, like, oh, this is a tryout for some, you know, for some scout or whatever. Yeah, cool, I'll go. It's in San Marcos, so I'll go. So I drove from Abilene to San Marcos. I show up, and it says UCA. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not like a, you know, I thought it was like United College Athletics or something. I didn't know what it was. As I'm, you know, as I walk closer, when I get out of my car, I'm like, whoa, this is, there's a lot of chicks going in here. Well, wherever they're going, I'm going. Walk in, I see, yo.
That's how it usually is for the guys, right?
Yeah, man. And it ended up being a UCA try. I went in there, and, dude, it was so crazy. I saw a dude do, like, a standing full, and I was like, yo, how do you do that? And he goes, what, you know, what are you talking about? I was like, how do you do that that standing twist thing you do? it's called a standing full. I'm like, all right, let's bet how you do it. So he's like, oh, let's go outside, and I'll show you how to do it. So I'm like, all right, cool. And the thing is, this is the thing, man. People don't – I think you can co-sign on this. When you don't know that you're not supposed to do something.
Oh, you just go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Bro, this dude taught me the most jank standing full. I was like, well, if I'm going to be stuck here with these people and it's not what I thought it was going to be, then I want to be the best dude here because I'm trying to get all these chicks.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is, you know, you hear your story, which is hilarious. And, you know, funny enough is – very similar to a lot of guys. There's a lot of similar threads. Yeah. But here's the difference. And here's the thing that people that don't know you and don't know about you don't realize. Y'all don't know what this man looks like. Y'all, when you hear, I was running track and I was doing this and I was doing that, people have, if they don't know who you are, man, they probably have this image of this track athlete build. Ellis McLean is built as wide as he is tall.
Yeah, dude.
He's as big around as he is tall. And I don't mean that in, and I'm talking, I'm talking like measurements are like, yeah, you probably got like, you know, it's like 50, 40, 50. I mean, it's just a big boy. Yeah. And I'm not talking, and for those that don't know, Ellis is not, the man is fit. I mean, he's solid. So to you know, you imagine hearing a guy that's doing standing fulls, a former track athlete, and for those that also don't know much about you, also into skateboarding and all this other stuff. Talking about, you know, an all-star tumbler from Top Gun. We're talking about one of the strongest, largest men on the planet right now doing all of these skills. And that's no knock on Top Gun. I just want to put it into reference. This is, guys, y'all are listening to one of the first hybrids in our sport, right? We talk about
when I started, there wasn't a lot of stumblers, man. There was
Mitch Budlong.
Mitch Budlong.
There was David McDowell.
I think there was like Mitch. There was David. There was you know what? And I got to give it up, man, because Jeremy Lumpkin.
Lumpkin throwing fools at his 260-pound behind.
Was throwing. I remember watching Big Lump throw a full. And I was like, that is not possible.
Right?
You know what I mean? But yeah, like, I mean, but the OG GOAT, I mean, honestly, but people, it's weird to say, was probably Mitch in term. Well, I take the bet. It's Dave McDowell is probably the OG GOAT.
Well, and that's the thing is you look at, they're almost like they were same generation, but like one half step away, right? You had Mitch.
One half step away. I remember.
David was
remember
the doing, phenom. High school senior throwing double ups.
Dude, I remember it was my first college demo, my first state college demo. It's like, and I remember watching Dave literally, and this is, you know what I mean? Like, this is when, I mean, don't get me wrong, double ups have always been around, but this is when like they were finally gave double ups the go ahead. Mm-hmm. I remember we go out there and I think it was like a rewind. No, I think we opened with double ups and it was like Josh McCurdy, I had hurt his knee.
So he wasn't tumbling then.
He wasn't tumbling right then. He had hurt his knee. David McDowell goes center stunt, double up. I'm talking as clean could be. Pops off, does a little. I forget what the transition was. It was like some like, I don't know, peg leg transition. Mm-hmm. Y'all go rewind. Pop off, rewind, and then it's, you know, obviously transition to the first pyramid. Mm-hmm. As for they're making a transition to the first pyramid, of course, I'm going to be on the bottom. we all walk, like we all make our transition to the first pyramid. Dave makes his way over to the side. Dave does, he goes, I think, 2 to double.
Mm-hmm.
It's on regular four, right? There at Texas State. He does a double full, over rotates with his double full, and ends up doing like he dang near does, like, I mean, almost a full and a half, a double and a half.
Really?
And yeah, he over rotates. Somehow he's able to roll out of it, stands back up. So he just did a double up and a double full in the same routine, not within possibly, I want to say, 15 seconds of each other.
Wow.
And I remember seeing him practice, like, dude, that guy is crazy. He's crazy. He's crazy. And this is like, this is when Dave was like, this is like at his prime, like, you know, Kentucky Dave, like just the, you know, it was at the time, I think the top of the game at the time, I believe, was Dave McDowell and Keo. Oh my gosh. What's his name? Oh, I can't believe I'm
Kentucky guy or
Kentucky. Yeah.
Oh God. I can't.
His partner was Brooke. He won all.
Oh, Doug Stidham. Doogie.
Doug Stidham. Yeah. It was Doogie.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was, those guys were like, they were, you know, the Mount Rushmore. And, oh, yeah. You know, even Doogie, like Doogie might, you know, he may have had a full, but you wasn't going to see him throw at any time.
No.
He had a nice tuck. That's all you need when you can stunt like a god.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember watching Dave. I was like, dude, this guy might be the greatest cheerleader I've ever seen in my life.
Here's a funny thing, man. A lot of people don't know this about, those that are close to David know, but those that have maybe seen him through, you know, his, you know, previous stuff.
Yeah.
David was my coach at UF for 1 year.
That's right.
Before he went to Alabama.
That's right.
And I have tried on numerous occasions to get him on for an interview, because David McDowell changed my life in more ways than one, not only cheer, but also career-wise, changed my life, and I have not been able to get him on the show. So if you talk to me, tell him, I've been trying to get in touch with him. But I can tell you, so I'm at Florida, which we didn't compete, right? But we were decent. We were a mid-card. We weren't competitive, so obviously there wasn't a push for a whole lot of high-level skill. But I remember when David came in, I knew nothing about this guy because I had only been cheering at that point for 2 years, right? I got a late start. And David, who, when he came in, is built like David is. Stocky, strong, big dude. He could stunt, you know, he'd throw anybody on a rewind and a full up. And one day, I remember I asked him, I said, dude, you stunt like a madman. Can you, like, what tumbling do you have? And at this point, keep in mind, David's like, late, I think he might have been early 30s at that time. I don't even.
Yeah, he's, you know, early 30s.
So
he's like late 20s, early 30s. Yeah.
So he goes, hold on. He walks over to the corner of the floor, cold, no warm up, punch front through the full in cargo shorts and a polo. And I'm talking like,
oh my,
punch front over people, and a full. This dude was was 220 at the time, and in his 30s. And so like, I feel you when you say about David, you know, and that's why I mean by David and Mitch being that half generation apart, because Mitch is still doing it.
Mitch is still doing it at a high level.
Every single day.
And it's so weird because you will never, even to this day, you will never, ever catch like Mitch's stunts not at the top.
Oh, no. He never, no bombs.
He won't throw it if he won't hit it at the top. Like, there's just, those guys like that, they just have this sense of pride and, you know, in what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, man, you know, I honestly, man, I remember when I saw him do that in that demo, I was like, all right, man, I want to do this. I mean, this is the benchmark, you know, to which everything else is going to be graded, man. And so from that point, I busted my butt to try to stunt like Dave, to try to tumble like Dave. I took tumbling classes to try to, you know, clean up the tumbling. I wanted to look just as good as his looked, you know. And mm-hmm. I mean, that was my pursuit for, man, Travis, I want to say a good 3 or 4 years was this, man, I want to be as clean and as just well-rounded as Dave. And then I met Mitch,
mm-hmm.
and it changed. It literally changed. I mean, I don't, he gets credit because, you know, I mean, I don't think we, you know, we give him credit. But to me, Dave was like, oh, man, it's hard to really, because he did so much for cheer. I think Dave was the Dr. J of cheer.
Yeah.
And sure. And Mitch came, and Mitch was MJ.
Yeah.
Mitch is Michael Jordan that just, he literally changed what you could do, the capabilities, you know, because honestly, Dave, he's a big, strong dude, had great tumbling, you know, and, you know, but when you saw Dave, you still saw this raw power with him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, he had power.
Yeah.
And I never saw that combination, obviously, until I saw Mitch. And but the thing that Mitch had that you know, a lot of people that watched him, you know, in his prime, was Mitch had control.
He was the first one ever to get a shotgun rewind on camera. And this was this was when you had to take a camera to the gym.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And, you know, like, it was, you know, Mitch was hitting stuff. I always use, like, for my UCA people out there that, you know, that remember those days. I call it before taping and after taping.
Oh, yeah.
During the taping era.
When you had to tape your
skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you know, BT and AT. Before taping, when you had to tape your skills, you know, you had maybe 4 or 5 tries and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, that one and done. That one and done mantra, man, that's where that comes from.
Because
one shot at doing it. There was no, hey, we're going to do it again. You had one shot at doing it. But, yeah, man, Mitch, there's so many things that Mitch has done that, you know, that, I mean, guys are doing now, but I don't think people understand. Like, dude, he was doing those bad boys before they were even popular.
Yeah, he paved the way. And, you know, you talk about these legendary guys, you know, and we talked about Doogie, but I feel like if you take and you put Doogie in that historical timeline, Doogie's like the Jerry West, right? Like,
you know,
he's early on, he's pioneering, he's doing stuff that, like, just smooth as glass.
It's hard with Jerry. I mean, I would say Doogie would be Jerry West, and then that leaves the OG, the Godfather, Pat Wedge. Pat Wedge, I don't know what Pat Wedge would be. Pat Wedge is, I mean, the toss QB take a knee.
I don't know, man. You're getting back into tension rolls out of three highs. We call Jeff Webb, and we'll see what Jeff thinks about Pat.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, because I'm interested to see where Pat Wedge ranks among. I mean, he actually is the GOAT. You know, he did it before anybody, did it. So, but yeah, then Doogie came and just revolutionized it. Dave came and polished it and added the whole tumble effect. And then Mitch came and made it an art form.
And then you got the offshoots like Andy, like Andy Brown.
Andy Brown.
That would take two human beings and put them over his head and just as easy
Andy
as one.
Andy Brown was probably the first gorilla that I ever saw. Like, guy is, he's an absolute just maniac. And, you know, Andy Brown was kind of that point of validation where, like, holy crap, dude, that right there is a giant. You know what I mean? This guy could be on somebody's football team killing, but he's throwing girls.
If you've never seen a human being fill out a triple XL polo and almost rip the seams, dude, Andy Brown was your guy.
Dude, Andy Brown was, golly, man. Yeah, those are the guys that I came up watching, man, you know. From that 01 to about, I want to say, I don't even know when I stopped really going hard with my stunning, man. But, you know, I think right around the time that Deshaun and Benji got into the game, that's when I was like, all right, dude, I'm done. You know,
you got Deshaun doing, he did it at Stunt Fest. It was a back handspring. There's a name for it, and I can't think of it right now. He did a back handspring front, rewind full up. I can't. It's got a name. I can't remember the dang name of it.
Yeah, dude. But I was just like, okay,
that's just Now you got guys like Colin Cockrell that just won UCA partner stunt, doing backhand spring hand skis, like hand ski full arounds, and I'm like, dude, this isn't even stuff that we thought was possible 10 years ago.
Yeah, man. Well, and then here's the thing, man. No knock on the guys, but now, you know, and the partners we had back in the day, dude, they were dope. They just, you know, I feel like now the young ladies now, they are so they come ready to roll in terms of their specialty.
Oh, for sure.
Like where we had, you know, I mean, with the girls that we had coming up, you know, they were great top girls, man. They were great flyers and they could do a lot of stuff. It was just, you know, you had girls that, you know, you're a tippy top, you know, you're a mid, that's it.
Yeah.
You don't have, you know, and now you have these girls that, you know, they're still gymnasts, or they're, you know, they decided, you know what, you know, some of these girls that these guys are getting now, they're literally, they're, you know, at some point they're high level gymnasts that decide, I'm going to give cheer a shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the first that I ever saw that were able to do that was like Miranda Nolan. Miranda was one of the first legit gymnasts that I ever met that was like, you know what, I'm gonna give cheer a shot, and she's one of the best that ever did it. But now you're getting these young ladies that they have no fear, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, their air awareness is so, it's at such an acute and high level now that, I mean, it's just the norm now, you know, and they're starting at these gyms a lot younger, you know, a lot earlier. They're being introduced to these high level stunts, you know, so much earlier than a lot of these girls are. So, you know, Colin and a lot of these guys that are amazing, you know, I mean, no knock on them, but dude, can you imagine some of these girls with a Mitch or with a Dave? And that's the thing. There's so much stuff that obviously we'll never get, you know, that people, you know, your listeners will never have a chance to see that we've seen, you know, firsthand, you know, but I mean, got those guys. And I mean, I'd be remiss if I left out, you know, even David Shook. I forgot about David Shook. I forgot about David Clemens.
Hey, yo, you got to think about it. You also got to expand beyond just our world, right? We lived in the UCA world, but you got to look at Big Mike from Louisville. You got to look at all the boys from Stephen F. back when, like, dude, back in the early 2000s. You got to look at Mike May and April.
Dude, let me tell you something. Michael May was probably the first guy that I saw. I mean, because SFA wasn't that far away, you know. We played them enough that, you know, we could see their cheerleaders. So there would be games that I actually would play ball, and when my sub went in, I would just watch the cheerleaders and saw, like, dude, that's nice, that's clean. I like those lines right there. You know, it was always funny. I was trapped in two worlds, but Michael May was one of the first guys that I ever watched, you know, that wasn't a UCA guy, that I was like, oh man, this dude here is unreal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely unreal. Garen was the same way. Garen was, you know, if UCA had Andy Brown, NCA had Garen. Garen mm-hmm. was a monster as well. I mean, but he was one of the first, he was really one of the first that, you know, took an amazing and prominent, you know, partner stunt career and actually, you know, used it to propel himself as a businessman as well as a coach. You know, and a lot of those guys, aside from, you know, like Dave did a good job of, he was a great cheerleader, but he was also a really good coach. A lot of those guys, you know, they, you know, either they stayed or got out of cheer for whatever reason. But, you know, those two guys are two of the ones that I definitely remember, my man, you know, when Garen went to Hawaii Pacific and just, you know, he made a dynasty there, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just cool, man. It's crazy. We're talking about this stuff, man. A lot of it takes me back. But yeah, dude, that was my era. That was, you know, watching all those guys, you know, growing up as a cheerleader, really watching those guys and trying to emulate what they did, and you're trying to get as good as possible. And the cool thing, like you know, as a male in cheerleading, man, your shelf life, man, is a lot longer than, you know, it seems like the older you get, you almost get better, you know,
it's not necessarily old man strength.
Yeah, you get the old man strength, but I think more than anything, you start understanding just how, you know, it's just weird, you know, it's just almost like backyard physics. You start understanding how, you know, how the turning of the hand, the turning of the wrist and opening up the hand and the surface area of the palm really, you know, going, come into play yep. when you're doing the stunts. And I mean, and, you know, people don't understand, like, you don't get these stunts, you know, you don't get them overnight.
When it's, it takes coach time. You coach it so much and you become so hyper aware of mistakes that you become an expert without even realizing you're an expert.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, you when you're looking at a stunt, like it's crazy you say that because I've had the same conversation now when, you know, now working with stars, I have all these parents and these athletes are like, oh, you know, like, why don't you cheer for Anacondas? Like, get on the world's team and this and that. And I'm like, I can't look at cheer the same way I used to. I can't look at it through the same lens because it's so hyper-focused on every aspect of it that almost taken away the just the animalistic count to eight, throw the heck out of a stunt, tumble. Man. Like, it just, it's so like, I'm in this place where as much as I would, like, I can't tell you how much every weekend I go to check on our athletes, make sure everybody's injury free, see if anybody needs anything. I sit there and watch our world's team and some of our high level, you know, junior teams. I'm like, dude, I just want to stunt so bad.
Oh yeah, man.
I just got.
And you never, you're never gonna lose that itch, dude. You're gonna hold on that forever. But I mean, I get it, dude. I mean, there's times like, you know, my kids will be playing around. I'm like, dude, let me just, you know, every now and then I'll hop in there just cause.
Mm-hmm.
But man, but those 3 and 4 hour, you know, stunt sessions, man, just like just impromptu, you know, I can't do that anymore just because, you know, that it's just, I know how it's supposed to look and how it's supposed to mm-hmm. feel. And, you know, you find yourself, especially when you become more of a coach on the coaching, and you find yourself analyzing it far more than you should. I'm so overly critical with my hands, with the rotation, with the mm-hmm. finish, mm-hmm. you know, with extension. I'm like, dude, I'm not having a good time because I'm so worried about the perfection of the art form rather sure. than just enjoying it.
So take it a step further and add looking for what's going to cause an injury and add that layer to it. And now you're looking through my lens and it's driving me nuts.
Yeah, man. So it's like, you know what? I'm just going to stand on the side and just make sure that everybody's safe.
That's
I get it, man. It's a frustrating thing, man, but it's also kind of, you know, it's also kind of surprising when you look at your level of growth. You know what I mean?
You have to,
it's a point of evolution as a cheerleader that not a lot of people have an opportunity to do. A lot of people, they just burn out. Mm-hmm. You know, they slap burnout. They just like, I'm done with the sport, and or they hurt themselves, so they're forced to leave the sport.
Sure.
When you're able to walk away from the sport by your own choice, by your own accord, it is peaceful. A different type of appreciation.
It's,
you know,
peaceful.
And you definitely, you're at peace with, you know, with the decision that you make because you're doing it for a bigger purpose. You know,
absolutely.
And the one thing that ladies are they're very good at it that guys aren't in terms of cheerleading is they do it. Guys do a horrible job in terms of, you know, we forget, we don't know when to walk away.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, young ladies, they have a higher sense of self. Therefore, when they get to that point, they feel like it's time to walk away. The skills aren't what they used to be or whatever. They tend to walk away from it with a bit more dignity and they, you know, they don't just fizzle out, you know? So,
sure.
And that's been, you know, for me, that was always the thing. Like, you never want to stay too long. You never want to try to stunt too much. And of course, for me, I was fortunate in that, you know, I literally went from one sport to another sport to another sport. And now, I mean, I'm lifting. So, you know, that competitiveness, you know, and that those sessions, they've just changed from throwing a human being around to just throwing a bunch of weight around. So it's, you know, I got lucky.
Yeah.
But
it's funny you say that, you know, a couple points in that. First of all, it's a perfect segue into the next topic that I want you to talk about. But first of all, you talk about, I don't want to overstay your welcome, you know, and guys having a problem walking away. There's a reason why when you look at your program and you have alumni day where the alumni show back up to hang out, most of it are the guys.
Yeah, man.
Rarely do you see the girls show back up. But, you know, as, you know, in continuing in that same direction, you know, guys like yourself, guys like, you know, the guys that are coaching and some of the high level, like Jomo and Leighton Clark and all these guys and yourself included, instead of, you know, not knowing when it's done, you know, to hang up the wrist tape, so to say.
Right.
You've shifted into a way where you maintain your intention with growing the sport, but in a different right. way that is not yet established. And that's where, right. all, you know, that's where kind of our generation is at now, where you've got, you know, people like yourself, you've got, you know, these other guys that have moved into higher coaching, you know, coaching position, things like that. Yeah. You know, my goal is to help our athletes in keeping injuries low, addressing movement imbalances and fallout, and just become, you know, well-rounded athletes. And a huge chunk of that is exactly what you're doing, which is why I wanted to get you on. And one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to talk to you and get you in front of our athletes is to talk about what you're doing now and how that impacts, you know, on a micro level, your own athletes, but then how your vision of that is going to impact the entire sport. So talk to us about how your powerlifting, your strength, and, you know, the focus you have on strength sports and how that is being translated into your program. Hey, thank you so much for your support for the Hit Zero podcast. Truly could not have done it without Anchor. Anchor has an incredible platform where you can record, edit, and distribute your podcast all from your phone. You guys would be surprised how many episodes I have done from start to finish and distributed it from my phone. It's really, really, really incredible. Now, what you have to do is you can either go to anchor.fm. That's their website. You can go there, you can get started, or you can download the Anchor app. It's available in all of the app stores that you can get for your phone, and you can start right away. And believe it or not, you can actually make money from your podcast, and you don't even have to have a certain amount of listeners. Just by having one listener, you can start to make money from your podcast. So if you're interested in making a podcast, check out anchor.fm or check out the app store, download Anchor, and I cannot wait to hear your first episode.
Well, the biggest thing, man, that has really, I guess, that I've been able to do, I mean, like I said, is really just been able to merge two loves and, I mean, two passions, really, which is, it's kind of cool. You know, it's rare, but it's kind of cool that I'm able to do it. What, you know, because, you know, I've been a world-class, you know, powerlifter for some time, I have literally been, you know, in the presence of so many amazing and great strength conditioning coaches, amazing lifters, weightlifters, and powerlifters alike, amazing conditioning coaches. And what I've been able to do, I mean, like with a lot of things that you do, you know, you tend to sponge on a lot of the things that come across your, you know, come across your brow. You tend to soak up a lot of things that, you know, that go past your ear, and you're able to just take pieces from everyone, you know, in their respective sports and their respective disciplines, and see how it will, how it can and will translate, you know, to your other discipline. So with cheer, it's been fairly easy in that the biggest thing that you know that you have to do, at least one of the hugest ingredients in cheer, is the whole idea and premise around the whole thing of power. You have mm-hmm. to have power. Mm-hmm. You have to have some type of strength. It's absolutely impossible to compete or to operate, you know, at any level in cheer, from level one to, you know, to six, seven, to whatever, you know, you have to be able to have some form of strength, some form of power that can translate to the moving of a body. For me, what I'm able to do is, because, you know, I do it every day, and it's actually, you know, one of my businesses, I actually do a lot of, you know, strength conditioning programming for a lot of people. I'm able to use that to help my guys and girls get stronger. And it's kind of cool because, of course, we actually have a strength conditioning coach that's assigned to our kids, which is a godsend. Not a lot of colleges have that. Not mm-hmm. a lot of universities have a strength conditioning coach that's assigned to them. But because we have one assigned to them, I have the opportunity, you know, to, you know, at any given point in time, like, hey, man, that works for them, that doesn't work for them. You can talk with the other coaches, like, hey, you know what we need to do? We need to work on some more explosive stuff. Now, you know, with a lot of, you know, a lot of I want to say the kids that I work with outside of my own, a lot of the things we do are really focused on the whole idea behind explosion. And so a lot of times they're my guinea pigs for some of the programs that I end up running on my kids. But again, for me, I'm able to use my expertise and my passion in one realm and actually bring it over to the other. You know, it's all about the betterment of the athlete, of course. I mean, your bread and butter is making sure that people are healthy, you know, making sure that your athletes are taken care of. I mean, and I try to do the same. With me, the biggest thing is really, you know, using the connections and using the, you know, the sponsorships and all the people that I have in my life to make sure that my kids are taken care of. I mean, I can use, for example, with the A7 International, they do bar grip shirts, in which you actually have to, basically it's so the bar doesn't slip down your back. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were able to put a barbell on your back, and a lot of times, you know, you get in a commercial gym or you get in a gym with a fairly used bar, it tends to slip down your back after, you know, heavy use, or as the heavier the weight gets, obviously the gravity takes a hold and it starts sliding down your back. So they actually have a shirt, a bunch of products called Bar Grip that actually, it's actually almost like a rubberized shirt where it doesn't slip. So we actually, called a favor in with those guys, and they sent me 20 shirts for all my top girls.
Nice.
And for all of my bases that have any type of shoulder stand, so the shoes don't slip off, you know, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, you know how it is being at the bottom of a pyramid. You know, when you're at the bottom, the shoulders aren't torn up. You know what I mean? Because the shirt's doing the majority of the, you know, of the lifting, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And of course, for all, you know, in our routine this year, we actually had a lot of hand-to-hands, you know, a lot of inverted stunts where we're pushing off the shoulder at one point. And it was actually pretty cool because they actually had a grip, you know, a grip on the body because the body obviously was attached to the shirt. Yep, so yep. A lot of our inverted stunts, those A7s helped out. Had another young lady that actually, she almost tore her elbow. So her elbow was in pretty bad shape. So she was out for 3 or 4 weeks. And so when she came back, obviously you can't in all good conscience put her on the mat with a huge Don Joy elbow brace. Because somebody's gonna get hurt,
right?
So what we did is I called in a favor with Mark Bell and the Mark Bell Slingshot crew there in Sacramento. Oh,
Smelly Bell. And,
yeah, man. And so he actually his crew actually sent me some elbow braces. And really? So we took a measurement, sent it in that day. Literally, we sent the measurements in that day. 2 days later, her elbow sleeve was there.
That's awesome, man.
So I mean, it's cool being able to merge, really, to be able to merge two sports, two loves. Even to the point that even, you know, we're as far as powerlifting and cheer goes, they're both in a position right now where they're trying to get that full Olympic recognition.
Yeah.
So those sports, they meet at Sport Accord a lot. Well, a few years back, it was actually a point where Jeff Webb and Gaston Parige, the president of the IPF, the International Powerlifting Federation, mm-hmm. they met up. Like literally, I think they were sitting side by side, and I think through a presentation that the IPF had about sportsmanship, I think I was a clip on that. And I think when it was all said and done, I think Jeff and Bill and those guys went over and like, hey, that guy right there, that's LS, that's one of our guys. And of course, they kind of started going back and forth, put two together, and you know, it's been pretty cool, just because that's a new relationship that was built. Just not necessarily because of me. I'm not gonna say that, but you know,
you had a part in it. That's for sure.
You know, it was kind of cool. Yeah. Now you fast forward, the last world championship that they had in Orlando. This is crazy enough. I helped. He's actually secretary of IPF, but he's one of the higher ups of USA Powerlifting. He actually got a hold of UCF and their cheerleaders to actually do an opening ceremonies for world championship. So it's cool being able to merge two worlds.
Nowadays you've got, just as of this week, that announcement of USAW and USA Cheer, which I was texting with Colin Cockrell earlier this week when that whole merger happened.
Yeah.
And was said, man, you know, it's, I guess I'll be going to get my USAW. Cause
yeah, man. I mean, it's, but the thing is, it's awesome it's an awesome opportunity. And USAW, they do a really good job of scouting talent.
Yes.
They scout talent from any and everywhere that they can find it, because, you know, with cheerleading, I mean, as far as the male goes, your movement that you do is you're doing a clean. You're doing a clean, yep, over and over and over and over.
That's it.
And if you watch the physical aspects of it all, like, I mean, you're just replacing a bar with a human being.
Yep.
And it's cool because actually one of our best cheerleaders, I actually got him from a CrossFit gym.
Okay.
And his cleans, I mean, his cleans were just outstanding. His snatch was outstanding. I was like, dude, this is awesome. You know, yeah, man. And we had him for a couple of years, and, you know, he ended up being one of our best guys. So USA Weightlifting, I mean, I think Colin was one of the main reasons why, you know, because he does so well.
Yeah.
In both ends, I feel like he's a prime reason why they can, you know, that they start going look for this. Yeah, go. Yeah. It makes no sense not to. And a lot of these guys, especially now with the insanely growing popularity of powerlifting, that, you know, USA Weightlifting is like, well, I mean, weightlifting in general is starting to grow. And it's weird because the bro that you see at the gym that was doing curls is now over there trying to do squats and bench, you know, and deadlifts, mm-hmm, you know. And, you know, the bro that was going to the gym that was just, you know, doing a few, you know, tricep kickbacks is now going to these CrossFit gyms and learning how to snatch,
yep,
and learning how to clean and jerk. A, yep, lot of these guys that are bros now, they all knew how to do a clean and jerk or a version of it in high school, you know, when they played football.
Exactly.
So it's smart, you know. I mean, I think for a while it was almost a bit asinine to assume that you couldn't train anyone to. No, you can't. It's not like you can train anyone, but if you have a good enough coach, you can at least put somebody in the position to find the best version of themselves in a weightlifting gym.
Oh, for sure.
And so USA Weightlifting, they've done a really good job about really, you know, they're actually at the forefront of doing that, you know. And it's one of those things where there's such a small window in terms of your body's ability to create that kind of explosion from zero to 1,000. So, you know, I mean, to catch these guys in their prime, you know, it's super smart. So I think you'll start seeing a lot of guys with some, you know, cheer backgrounds, you know, that are going to be gracing these platforms,
yeah,
soon and very soon. You know what I mean? So there's
the other thing is the females, you know, and one of the first, mm-hmm, one of the first interviews I did was with Brian and Nicole Nichols, head coaches of West Georgia that just won dynasty, continuing the dynasty over, yep, there. But Brian touched on the fact that, like, they use CrossFit style training for their team, mm-hmm, including, yeah, the girls. And once they got girls into lifting weights, they really like, they're like, we can't get them out of the gym.
Well, I will say this because, you know, shout out to B Nick, by the way. He reaches out to me a lot just for just a bunch of different weightlifting ideas and stuff. He's a good friend. Love that dude. The one thing that I will say that, you know, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of how Instagram is just, it's almost just kind of taking over people's lives in terms of look at me.
Mm-hmm.
But what it has also done, it has brought to light a lot of opportunities for people to get fit.
Sure.
You know, while the fad now is to get fit, it's not necessarily the lifestyle, but the fad is the lifestyle, right, if that makes any sense whatsoever. For sure. Whether it be for a selfie, whether it be like, hey, you look at my butt, whatever it is, it's brought to the forefront the whole idea behind fitness, and it's helped the industry boom more so than ever. Now, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, everyone knows, I mean, with the exception of your older crowd, your older generation that actually use, you know, fitness really to stay healthy, a lot of it is really, you know, vanity based. Fitness in itself is almost vanity based.
Sure.
But what it's able to do now is it gets a lot of young women that would normally just, you know, not necessarily sit on the couch, but would just run, not eat healthy and try to starve themselves to make sure they stay in the air. Now it encourages them to, you know, go get a barbell, go get some weights, lift it. It's not going to turn you into a dude. It makes people, you know, people, and it's weird because people are still, I mean, and I'm sure you've heard it a million times, people are still, and by people I mean young women, they're still under this impression, if I lift weights, I'm going to look like a man.
Yeah. I have athletes, young cheer athletes that I work with, and we talk about nutrition and protein and this stuff, and they make that comment, and the argument I make to them is muscle mass is an expensive and hard to achieve end goal. There are guys with better hormones than you'll ever have for building muscle that spend their entire life trying to build it, and they will never build a single pound. So if you were to accidentally fall into 20 pounds of lean body mass because you picked up 90 pounds of barbell, then you are a genetic freak, and we need to be evaluating you in a lab.
Yeah, it's that little thing of testosterone and how it's able to just do its thing. You don't have a lot of it. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're not gonna strap on all this weight and all this muscle out of nowhere. But what you're actually gonna do is you're gonna put your body in a better position not to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, add a bit more strength, add a bit more explosiveness, and you know what? That full up that you're trying to get might actually rotate a little bit quicker. You know what I mean? That top girl, that top that you're trying to catch, for some reason she keeps popping off your leg every single time you try to get her in that one-on-one. Who knows? Maybe you'll actually be able to grab her and hold her up there.
Dude, my best partner was just weight alone, my biggest partner. And it was because she was a gym rat. She was strong as an ox. And to this day, she is still, she has her own fitness, online fitness business. She's still got it. She's had a little boy and a set of twins, and she still has a six pack and works out 7 days a week. And she weighed, and this sounds like, you know, we talk about weight, like, you know, pre banning of the weigh ins, right? But like, she was my super senior year. She weighed 117, which for a top girl on a co ed team, that's a big girl.
Yeah,
but
man.
She was by far, our coaches. All right, guys, warm up. We'll give you 5 minutes to warm up, and we'll start running through stuff. Toss QP, full up lib, full up QP. That was our warm up because it didn't take much effort because she was that strong. It was so easy.
Yeah, man. They do the work. It's almost like they do the work for you. I mean, I will take your 117 and I'll raise you about 20 more pounds. But I mean, my first partner, she was about 135, 140. My second partner, she was knocking on 150. But the weird thing was, when you don't know, you don't know. I mean, that's just what we had. So we worked with what we had.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I was the biggest dude, so I was going to get the biggest girl. The cool thing was, the biggest girls, quote unquote, they had the best technique.
They did. Because they're strong. And
they make you better, man. Yes. And then, you know, when I did get a girl that was, 100 pounds, sub 100, I'm like, dude, I don't even know how to stunt with you. This makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, even when I got my first team, when I started coaching at Angelo, that was the first thing I did was like, you know what, man, I don't care what you weigh. You got to be healthy, number one. And number two, you got to take care of business. You do those two things, I will make sure you get in the air by any means necessary.
I love it.
And that's how it's been. I mean, I've lived that lifestyle. I've echoed that since day one. I'll give, if they ask, how much should I weigh? I'm like, well, cool. Let's check out your body type. Well, clearly you have far more muscle in your body than the average girl. Then, so I think you need to be at least 130. Well, I know, but these top girls like 105 or 100. Like, well, listen, those other top girls aren't built like you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's just, you know, you, I mean, it's a case-to-case basis. And, you know, for me, you know, I feel like there's a fundamental problem with telling a young woman you need to get smaller. Now I have no problem telling my guys you need to get bigger, you need to get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I can't in all good consciousness be like, hey man, you need to get smaller, because that's a lie. That's the biggest lie. One of the biggest lies in the cheer world is your girls need to be super small.
Oh,
they don't
have
to be super small.
For sure.
It has no, but you know what you can do? You can get some guys that can go in the gym and lift a bit, and you can get some girls that can get some technique down, and you can get yourself a team of people that become technical freaking juggernauts, and the next thing you know, you have yourself something special.
I can guarantee you right now, Jeremy Lumpkin, Doogie, and David McDowell, and Jason Keough, and Mitch Budlong, and Mike May, and Big Mike from Louisville, I can guarantee you none of those guys ever looked at a girl and went, oh, well, she's too big.
No, man. I mean, you can't, but rather those guys, you know, those are my era guys. Those are the guys, like, they look for – it was the challenge. Like, all right, cool. If a girl were to tell me, oh, I'm a bass, I don't go in the air, that was a challenge to me. Like, oh, word? Okay, we're going to see about that.
Right.
You're going to learn to full up. You're going to learn to full up before this session's over with.
I had a buddy I never got to cheer with him. His name was Eddie. And Eddie was down around Gainesville when I was down there. And Eddie had – Eddie was built like you but about 4 inches shorter. And he was just –
oh, my gosh.
Short. Like, we jokingly did a shoulder sit one time and got a picture of it. And me sitting on his shoulders, I was I was 6 inches taller than Eddie was with me on his shoulders. Like, it was – he's just a – but his big thing was, he said, I will put any girl in a rewind.
Man,
any girl. And he did it. I swear to God, I watched him take a back spot. He came to one of our stunt clinics. Any girl that ever showed up, he's like, all right, can you do a back tuck? And they're like, yeah. He's like, okay, we're going to do a rewind. And he would land rewind with anybody that ever wanted to do a rewind, Eddie could do a rewind with him.
That's how Stefan was, man.
Like, oh, big Steph.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Stefan literally, that's where I learned rewinds from, man. Like, I had him down, but he perfected the art of the rewind, man. He could rewind anyone. And so from that point, I was like, hey, you know what, man? I want to be like that. I want to be, you know, just a big, strong dude that can literally throw anyone.
Absolutely.
I feel like if the guy's good enough, there's no such thing as a girl that can't do an elite.
For sure.
It might be a jank full up, but you know what? We can get her up there. So
if she can stay tight.
That's it. You just got to be able to stay tight. You know, jump a little bit, flick a little bit. I'll do the rest.
So
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I think at the end of the day, man, that's what it's about. It's about being healthy, being happy, using what you have. And honestly, man, let's be honest, cheer, while it's a business and while we do get a paycheck from it in some, you know, some form or fashion, it's just a hobby, dude. And you know what I'm saying? And it's a straight up luxury. And sometimes people treat this luxury like it's an absolute priority, and it's not. And when you start treating it like it has its life, it's not life. It's a part of people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when people try to use it in a healthy, you know, and performing it in a healthy way, a smart way, then you start seeing, one, less injuries, and two, you just start seeing better quality in terms of just the routines out there, in terms of the people that are cheering. Like, it's just, I feel like, you know, we've hit a point at some points of cheerleading where it's about the popularity of the cheerleader, you know, maybe not necessarily about the substances they bring to the table. You know, it's about, you know, the name of the gym rather than the routines that are being put out. It's about, you know, honestly, the popularity of the program rather than the quality of the routines that they put out. Like, it's, you know, it's all about the, it's all, it's leaning more towards the okay intangibles, not the good stuff. Not like, hey man, dude, that program right there, you know, they do a lot of awesome things in the community. That program right there, like, they really try to focus on doing the good things for their kids. Like, honestly, one of the most impressive programs out there that you don't hear a lot about is Grand Canyon. Yeah, the Keegan's run.
Keegan, yeah. Keegan, we had him on the podcast a couple episodes ago.
Keegan runs, that's awesome. I honestly wouldn't even think about it. Keegan runs one of the dopest programs and does it in such, how do I say it? It's such a productive, nurturing, and really, I just think it's a fun way. He runs a very fun, awesome program. You don't hear a lot about Grand Canyon. You know what I mean? Like, in your comparison to your Moorheads and, you know, in your Kentuckys and, you know, your Louisvilles and all stuff. And again, no knock on James, no knock on Joe, you know, no Jomo, no knock on Mark or any of those guys, man. But I mean, dude, Keegan runs an awesome program.
Yeah,
Linda Gooch runs an amazing program at UCF.
And he credits Linda. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, he credits Linda, and I had Poochie on the podcast a couple months back. Poochie and everybody I've ever talked from UCF credits Linda so much. I mean, for our young listeners, mm-hmm. Linda Gooch is one of the movers and shakers, the game changers of cheer.
A groundbreaking coach. A groundbreaking coordinator, Linda Gooch is one of the in terms of the big schools, she's probably one of the first that I'd ever heard of that the athletic department was giving them straight back and like, we want back to the program.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I got to get to know her a lot better, obviously, you know, knowing Poochie and knowing Stefan, like Stefan and James Kersey being my really, really good friends. So I was around, I've been around the UCF program. I mean, wow. You know, actually before Stefan even started cheering there.
Okay.
You know, prior to, you know, 2002, 2003. So, I mean, I've been around that program for a while. But Mike Pair was there, you know, when I first was introduced to the program. And Linda has always been such a sweet, just awesome person that runs such a tight ship, a well-oiled machine that, I mean, you can't help but try to take a few pages from her book when, you, when you're in a program.
Oh, for sure.
And I feel like, you know, there's no, it's no secret, you know, that Grand Canyon is run so well by Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has such an amazing, you know, mentor and example to follow with Linda. She does things the right way, you know, and I feel like, you know, a lot of coaches out there, you know, can learn a lot from Linda Gooch.
I feel like I may ruffle some tail feathers here, which I could care less. I would argue, and this is, again, with, and you and I are the same, man. It's all about respect. Yeah. It's all about give respect where it deserves. But exactly. I would argue that given the same level of talent
I see where you're going
Keegan's program that go to some of these big name recognizes.
I see what you did.
I see a powerhouse. I truly
without a doubt.
I see a power. I see a rival. No matter what division they, you know, whether it's D2, D1, D1A, I mean, whatever, I see a level of competency and ability to coach that given this equal talent team to team.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I see 2003 happening all over again.
Oh, without a doubt. I feel like Keegan's one of those. And here's the thing, man. I think I want your listeners, you know, and especially youngins out there to listen to this part right here. And, you know, and it's not me, you know, soapboxing. The thing that we're able to do, because we're all kind of in that same pocket, the thing that we're able to do that we do very well with one another is we network and we communicate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain stunts that I know for a fact that I can't perform. There's certain sets of baskets. Well, now I don't have to worry about it, but there used to be points where there was baskets that I did not know how to explain to a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's pyramids that are in my head that I had no way of really bringing them to life that had I had no problem calling, like, who's my pyramid guy? You know, mm-hmm. Who's the guy that really knows pyramids? Like, for me, it's Trey. And a lot of, you know, and you know, so I mean, I'll call Trey, you know, and Trey, hey, man, I need help with these pyramids. You know, I'm trying to figure this part out. And he can help you on the spot. You know, if there's an all-girl stunt, like, dude, I have no idea how to, I want to take this co-ed stunt, but I want to make it look all-girl style, then I can reach out to a Tony Nash, or I can reach out to, you know, to John Chabret. Like, there's, you know, we're able, because we're, I mean, at some point, you're rivals, but you're also friends, you know. And I think the big thing that you can't lose in this game, especially as a coach, is respect.
Oh,
Keegan has so much respect from so many different coaches. You say you get, you know what, let's make it all even. Let's just make it even, Steven, across the board. Let's say that Grand Canyon gets the same talent that your Moorheads get, that your Kentuckys get, that your Louisville gets. Let's say for some reason, you know what, let's just be dope with it. Let's say that for some reason, Navarro decides to send their whole set of graduating sophomores all go to Grand Canyon. That completely changes the game, my friend.
It does. In my opinion, it gives an unfair advantage to Grand Canyon then.
Yep.
I mean, truth be told, because in everyone else's mind, they're still an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows the underdog story.
Man, dude, I really feel like, you know, I honestly feel like, you know what, I if Grand Canyon were to get just more talent, I mean, and it's not, no knock to the kids they have right there.
Oh, yeah,
like,
the kids are great.
They have some awesome talent. They're great kids.
But it's like saying you're looking at the Patriots and the Cowboys. Like, they're both amazing, but one team wins a dozen Super Bowls in that much time, and the other team makes it to the playoffs. Like, they're both amazing.
It's all in the coaching. And there's, you know, Belichick, You know, it's Belichick versus Garrett. I mean, I'm going to go with Belichick, and I'm a huge Cowboys fan. Like, it's one of those things where I feel like Keegan has a mental wherewithal, and he has the connections, and he has the drive, and again, he has a respect from enough people that are willing to help him in terms of input, in terms of choreography and everything else, that program can march to Orlando and blow the doors off the place. You know what I mean? And you know how cheer is, dude. It just takes one group. Let's say Lumpkin's kids at Jones, they decide, like, you know what, I don't really feel like trying to go to Mississippi State or to Mississippi, or I don't care to go to Alabama. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to try to Kentucky. You know what? Let's go somewhere that, you know, because guys do it all the time, especially guys. Fellas do it all the time. Like, bro, let's just all go somewhere else.
That was the ring chasers in the mid-2000s, bro.
Yeah, dude.
I'm not gonna call names, but I got buddies that went to 5 different undergrads chasing rings.
Chasing rings, dude. So it's like, that ring chasing epidemic, dude, it was huge, man. I mean, there was guys and girls alike just chasing that bad boy. But, you know, I got a feeling, and I don't even know if that it's ring chasing. It may be location chasing. I don't know. But, I mean, something tells me in my heart of hearts, I feel like Hawaii is going to be making a power move soon.
Yeah, I hear you. I want to plant a seed in the interest of time. I want to plant a seed. Mm-hmm. And then we're gonna get to our lightning round.
All right.
But I'm telling you right now, I'm gonna have you back on for another interview, because we got, trust me, we got so many topics
that we can talk. We can do this all
here's
day.
Here's my seed though, and you can water it or you can stomp on it. Keegan Hubbard should be a coach for Team USA.
Ooh.
I'm not saying that the guy that Leroy and Leighton and Jomo, I'm not saying that these guys are not good, because clearly they've got a CV and a resume that are longer than anybody in the sport combined.
But so we're saying,
if you're not bringing Keegan on with his history, his connection with athletes, and just his just purity of personality.
Mm-hmm.
What you're missing out.
In addition to, I feel like him being on the coaching staff would be a huge move. I think it would be. You know, I how about this? I think this would be kind of awesome, okay? So, you know, we can take it a slight step further, because I think it would be kind of cool. So let's say every year Team USA puts a coach, like, you know what I mean? Like, they have their mainstays, you know what I mean? You know, obviously, you know, Savannah and Jomo. I mean, of course, Leighton, he's in and out of the thing, you know, with all his help. Obviously, Tony, you know, Leroy. I mean, you have your mainstays to say that, but every year you have an addition, you add a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be that additional coach for the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
First round,
I would definitely say Keegan, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I think he would be an absolute amazing addition. You know, in terms of his insight and what he could bring to the table, I would also say Ben Schreiber. I would say Ben. I think Ben's done an amazing job of what he got at Ohio State and what they are now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a few of them out there, man. I think that would be pretty cool. I mean, personally, I think that would be.
Now, again, going off that mindset that you're saying, is if you think about the direction that the sport is headed, right, with the Olympic standards, we're not going to have spring floors in the Olympics, bro. We're the only country in the world that has cheer on spring floor in any aspect. Everybody else is all dead mat. So if you're going to talk about bringing in people in different realms and different viewpoints and different styles, my opinion after Keegan, Victor Rosario.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, man. Come to the other side.
I like that.
It's a lot of experience and a lot of ideas, man. One of the top programs in the history. May not be the rah-rah, sis, boom, bah, let's take a break for a minute in the middle of our routine with the music.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the style, man. I mean, the style is a mixture. It's
a mixture.
UCA on a dead floor. So we need to get people that have a little bit of all-star. So I think Victor would be.
Oh, I think, yeah, that would be.
Would be. I mean,
you know, we could always, you know, I would also say Hank Light. You could always have Hank.
Yeah.
I mean, I there's so,
so many. Oh, there's so many.
There's so many. But so I think, you know, I think that would be cool. Almost like, you know, kind of how the AP has its voting.
Yeah.
I would love to for there to be a ballot. You know what I mean? Of potential coaches so out there.
Why not? Why if the sport evolves and it turns into an Olympic sport and we're talking about evolution of the sport and bringing on big names, I don't understand why there should be any reason why anyone would disagree that we have conferences of cheer in the country. And maybe we maybe we have a almost like an AFC NFC. Maybe we have an East Coast, West Coast. And you pick, instead of Team USA, your Team USA comes from a national competition of conferenced teams.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. Like, if, like maybe to split the U.S. up in a quadrant, in quadrants, you know what I mean? And, you know, you have your, you know, I mean,
think about the Olympics, right? We got the NBA. Yeah. Everybody plays on their team. We have the NBA world champions. But then we draw from the NBA to make the USA team that goes to the Olympics.
Exactly.
So why, you know, why do we not establish a professional level of cheer here since it's going to be an Olympic sport? Mm-hmm. And we have conferences here that battle each other, and then we have our team try out of that.
That would be cool, except, I mean, financially, it wouldn't be possible. Because, I mean, even our top Olympic athletes barely get paid.
That's true. That's true.
You know what I mean? So that's financially, I mean – in theory, it sounds absolutely amazing. You know me, I'm down. But financially, who's going to pay for it?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? What I mean? Like, is this one more thing that varsity's going to try to bankroll? You know what I mean? Like, at some point, these entities have to, if they're going to exist, they're going to have to be separate of Jeff Webb's thumbprint.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean,
you got to think about it. Your latest kind of step outside is Stunt. And, so, I mean, Stunt's growing great, but, I mean, I think you're right. I think room for another huge shift is, I think it would have to evolve naturally, man. It'd have to be something where, like, we have so many top quality athletes trying out for Team USA once we finally hit the Olympic platform that now all of a sudden we need some qualifiers outside of come try out. You know, we have,
or, you know, have, I mean, or just, I mean, I think the easiest thing to do would just be have, you know, you would have maybe a, let's be honest. You could honestly do it. I mean, let me see, you know, you could have a West Coast type version, and let it be run by, I mean, to be honest, the money's going to be in the gyms. Yeah. So Cali All-Stars, they have that whole West Coast style. I mean, if you have the South, part of the South or whatever, I mean, you have, Jordan obviously, Hall, you have
Stingrays. Yeah, I
mean, you have Stingrays. You have,
Brandon All-Stars.
Yeah, Brandon All-Stars. I mean, freaking Top Gun, you know. I mean, you know, you could do that. Obviously, you have cheer athletics and everything. Like, you might, you know, they could be bankrolled by the gyms possibly.
Yeah.
You know, and
honestly,
I think that would be the best way to do it, to run it through the gyms.
Well, here's, you know, and then here's my, where I poked the bear before I stopped talking is, how much money do the top guys in varsity have? Why would we rely on our grassroots guys to fund it? Because I can tell you now, varsity was just bought by like a hedge fund group a year ago for $4.5 billion.
Yeah, $4.5 billion.
So trust me, I think that our
grassroots... I mean, the money's there to an extent, but you know, but part of that, but the same thing, that's part of that same hedge fund group. Wasn't that the ones that put Toys R Us out of business?
Yeah. Okay. So, okay. We're going to stop right now, because if not, we're going to go on till midnight. So we're going to get into lightning round, and then we're going to make sure that everybody that's listening has a way to check you out more and check your program out more. So if you've listened to the podcast before, we do not prime any of our listeners on the lightning round. These are just things that we just want to put you on the spot and see how you react. So first question. What is the most ridiculous fact that you know?
The most ridiculous fact that I know?
Yes, sir.
Oh gosh.
And remember, this is a PG-13 show.
Yeah, I was thinking. I'm trying to filter it. oh man, sheesh. I'm trying to think of like a good one. I have so much, useless information.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not gonna do that one because that. I'm trying to think of one that's like kind of not. Okay, I can tell you this one. This is actually pretty cool. I think. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay.
Okay, let's go with this one. Humans, I'm pretty sure it's humans are the only, we're the only animals in existence whose brains shrink.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
over time.
The older we get, our brains they start to shrink.
I could tell you right now, I don't know that yes fact, but I feel like it sounds right. I think you're right. Yeah, because I mean that's part of degenerative cognitive diseases is parts of the brain shrinking,
like Alzheimer's and dementia. Okay.
I dig it. All right.
Yeah, I think we're the only animals that it does like that.
All right, second question. That was a good fact. I'm impressed. Second question. What's the best type of cheese?
Oh man, I would say honestly, pepper jack, dude. I love pepper jack.
That's a good one.
I mean, I'm a burger. I love eating burgers, dude. So I'm always throwing that pepper jack on it, 2 and 3 slices.
See, I've always been a blue cheese fan.
Oh, dude, I don't like blue cheese.
You love it or hate it. There's no middle ground. You don't kind of like blue cheese.
No, never. I don't know anybody that just like either like, oh my god, yeah, dude, I have that blue cheese. Like, I'm straight.
You love it or it makes you vomit.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Okay, I'm impressed, man. I'm impressed. All right, next question. There's so many good ones. If you could sum up the internet in one sentence, what would that sentence be?
Time. Just, it's time.
So you took it to one word.
If I could sum it up, like, I literally, it's just time. It can either be time consumption, you know, it's just, it's hard, man. Sometimes it's useful time, but 9 times out of 10, it's useless time. You don't necessarily need it, but people have made it so that they feel that it's an absolute necessity. For those people that can remember that far back, where were we before the internet? We were fine, dude. We were okay.
That's true.
It's time.
We used to print out MapQuest instructions.
Yeah, man. Like, so it's time. It's good time, it's bad time, but overall it's time. It's a lot of time consumption. So to sum up the internet, I would definitely just say it's time.
I like it. And our final question. If you could come up with a nice insult for someone, how would you nicely insult someone?
Oh, man. You know what? I would say You're not ugly. You're just a pretty monster.
I love it. I promise you right now, that is the title of this podcast interview.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, I like that.
An interview with the prettiest monster.
Yeah, man. There it is.
Well, Ellis, man, I cannot thank you enough for coming on me, man. There is so much more that I want to talk to you about. So many more topics that I think we could touch on in the future episodes.
Oh, without a doubt. Whenever you need me, I'm here, brother. So whenever you need me.
For those listeners that have enjoyed this interview with LS, we're gonna have his contact information in the show notes. We'll also have ways to get a hold of him and also links to his page, lsmclain.com, where you can learn more about him as a powerlifting athlete, some of his products and things that he's got in his shop, which are awesome. Some of his clothing line is incredible. And also just learn more about him outside of just cheer. But there is way too much to cover in one episode. We have to have you back on in a couple of weeks. And I can't wait to get this episode out to our listeners.
For sure, man. I'm definitely going to have you on mine. We might be able to kill two birds with one stone, man. And you know what I mean? So my listeners can get more of the cheer doc in their life. And at the same time, you know, you'll be able to throw that link up as well. And you know, so we might be able to knock out two interviews at one time and cover more ground. Two heads are better than one for sure.
I love it, man. Well, thanks for joining us and we'll catch you later. For our listeners, make sure to check out the show notes so you can learn how to learn more about LS. And if you're interested in Texas State cheerleading, if you live in the Central Texas area, interested in Texas State cheerleading, make sure to check out his information in the show notes so you can get more information about their program, things that they expect out of their athletes, and what they're looking for to help grow their program. Thanks so much for joining us, man. We'll catch you soon.
All right, man. Later, brother.
Take it easy.
Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. Make sure to check out anchor.fm/cheerleading if you want to become a contributor to the podcast and help our scholarship to grow. We'll catch you on the next episode.